You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Thursday, September 29th. I'm your host, Eric Steven. I took a few days off and it looked like the Dodgers offense was also taking a few days off. They seemed to have some trouble with runners in scoring position, but they were still grinding out stuff in both games. First two games in San Diego both went 10 innings. It's been a split so far. The Dodgers didn't score off Blake Snell on Tuesday, but they ran up his pitch count, got him out after five innings. They did the same on Wednesday against Joe Musgrove. Didn't score in five innings, but he was out of there after five. Dodgers lost the opener 4-3. Wednesday, the game was scoreless. Nobody scored at all until extras. Freddie Freeman singled home Mookie Betts, who was the free runner, to start the 10th inning. For the only run of the game, it was Freeman's 192nd hit, which sets a new career high for him. He also led the National League with 191 hits in 2018. That was his old career high. He has seven more games to get the eight hits he needs to get to 200. That's a goal Freeman has stated several times this year, so he's been hitting really well. Julio Urias was the main reason why the game was scoreless, at least on the Padres side. He has been just on one, man. Like, he had six scoreless innings on Wednesday. He's allowed two runs or fewer in each of his last 13 starts. He's allowed a total of 12 runs in those starts. One of them was unearned. So his ERA in that time, this is over almost 3 months, is 1.23. That's pretty low. I don't know if you know that. But if you look back, not quite the All-Star break last year, but since July 21st of 2021, yes, I did cherry-pick my endpoints. Thank you very much. Julio Urias has a 2.03 ERA in his last 43 regular season starts. This year, he's at 2.17 on the season, which leads the National League, and he's got one start left to sort of hammer that home. So when that will be, it looks like Urias is going to go Tuesday next week. The Dodgers end the year with six games against the Rockies. If you thought the five-game series against the Diamondbacks was long, wait till you get six straight days of games against the Rockies. That'll be something. But Urias is going to go on Tuesday, and Clayton Kershaw is going to go Wednesday. Wednesday is the last day of the regular season. So if you notice, that lines them up to go they're 1-2. Dave Roberts would not commit to saying Urias would start game one of the NLDS, but he did say Urias and Kershaw would be the ones to start games 1 and 2. He played up the can't go wrong with either guy, all that kind of stuff. He did say if the Dodgers wanted to flip the order, there's 5 days off in between, so they certainly have the time and the choice to do that if that's what they want to do. But if you just, like, it seems like every start, just about, the last 2+ months, Dave Roberts has sort of talked up Urias in the, either he's not getting enough recognition, either Cy Young consideration last year or this year, or that he didn't make the All-Star team, which Dave Roberts has called ridiculous. I wouldn't be surprised if Urias is starting, had to start game one in the NLDS, and it would be deserving. Like, obviously, Kershaw has been great too, but I think just rewarding Urias for just the stability that he's brought the rotation the last 2 years, really. And if you go back to 2020 as well, he was great in the shortened season as a starter, like for the first extended time in his career. He's been everything the Dodgers have asked. He's been great. He's not alone, though. As you know, the game went 10 innings, and so the Dodgers had to cover 4 innings after Urias on Wednesday. And we'll talk a little bit more about how they did that and what it could mean for October and a few other few pitchers coming back a little bit more after the break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So it's been a busy week for pitchers returning, as the Dodgers were sort of hoping, sort of clearing out the injured list. David Price was activated Tuesday. He's been out pretty much all of September with a left wrist issue. He has not pitched in either of the first two games in San Diego. Yensy Almonte was activated Wednesday. He pitched in 3 rehab games with AAA Oklahoma City last week, and he last pitched on August 3rd, I want to say. So he's been out for longer, but oh boy, he looked good on Wednesday. He got thrown right into the fire, scoreless game, 8th inning. He's facing the top of the Padres lineup, which includes Juan Soto and Manny Machado as the second and third hitters he faced. He got Soto to ground out. He struck out Machado. Looked awesome. If you'll remember, Almonte was awesome before he landed on the injured list. He's been, like, just excellent pretty much all year. So he gives the Dodgers another weapon, presuming he could stay healthy. And just simply by being active, Price and Almonte are several steps ahead in the race, you know, to sort of secure those precious postseason roster spots. So we'll see how that sort of plays out. Tony Gonsolin is another one of the pitchers who will almost certainly, as long as he's healthy, will get a roster spot as well. So he pitched 2 innings for Oklahoma City on Tuesday in a rehab start. Oklahoma City's season ended on Wednesday. So Gonsolin's going to be activated at some point during the Rockies series, probably going to start Monday. That's the 4th game of the series. So that would line him up to also pitch in the NLDS. Now, he went 2 innings against Oklahoma City. Figure he's probably not going to go more than 3 in that last tune-up. And then so if you go, taking that out logically, he can probably go 4 if all things go well in the NLDS, but, you know, they're probably going to do a lot of mixing and matching and matchups and that sort of stuff. There has been encouraging work out of the bullpen, Almonte among them. in the first two games of the series, and it looks like a blueprint almost for what the Dodgers like want, both in October and I think ideally like going forward. So both starters pitched really well. Tyler Anderson Tuesday went six innings, allowed two. Julio Urias went six innings, allowed none. On Wednesday, Evan Phillips was the first guy out of the pen. Both nights pitched scoreless seventh. His ERA at the moment, Evan Phillips, is 1.19, which is the lowest ERA in Dodgers history, and that's a minimum of 40 innings. I slided him. It's actually 1.18. My apologies to Evan Phillips. So the record is Hong Chi Kuo. In 2010, he went in 60 innings and allowed 8 earned runs. That's what Phillips was at entering Wednesday. So now he's at 61 innings. Eric Gagne was also 120 in 2003 in his Cy Young year in 82 and a third innings. But I believe his, if you take it out another decimal spot, it was 1.202, whereas Kuo was 1.20 across the board. So Kuo has the record for minimum 40 innings, lowest ERA, but Phillips as at the moment is below him. Funnily enough, Yency Almonte is also below him at 111, but he's not going to get the innings. He's at 32 and a third, and he's certainly not going to get to the 40 mark. Previous Dodgers rewind subject, Hank Aguirre, is, I believe he's like 0.6 something, in, I believe 39 innings. So that's why if you use the cutoff of 40 innings. So bottom line is those guys are all pitching well. Tuesday saw Caleb Ferguson pitch the eighth, lefty, and, he got through the part of the lineup. His last batter was Juan Soto. Chris Martin, righty, relieved him, struck out Machado, finished the inning. Tommy Canley pitched a scoreless ninth on Tuesday to get to extras, and then he pitched again on Wednesday, earning the save in the 10th, and it was a 1-2-3 inning. Notable that it was his first back-to-back appearance for Canley all year in the majors. He did so twice during rehab assignments, once in April with Rancho, once earlier this month with Oklahoma City. So, you know, that's part of the thing in the playoffs, man. You gotta be ready almost every day. Not literally in the Brandon Morrow sense of him getting sort of burned out in the 2017 World Series by pitching in all seven games. But you're going to have to go back-to-backs a lot, and I'm sure they're going to rely on a lot of these guys just like that. So that was encouraging to see Canley do that, especially after missing, you know, the bulk of two seasons with both Tommy John surgery and then elbow stuff this year. So he did not get to the Soto-Machado part in the 10th, but only because he retired all three batters he faced and left Soto in the on-deck circle. So Craig Kimbrell lost Tuesday's game, the sort of lone exception here, with three walks in the 10th inning. One of those was intentional to Juan Soto, but he was also the fifth reliever used. So I think getting Almonte back is a huge addition for the Dodgers. It adds another layer to sort of this multi-pronged attack that they have. And he got, like I said, got Soto and Machado in the eighth on Wednesday. Alex Vesia on Wednesday pitched a scoreless ninth. They, you know, who knows how it's going to exactly play out in October, but they've tended to use one of Vesia or Ferguson and like sort of alternating nights in a way. So they don't always pitch back to back. Sometimes they do. But they also have confidence, I think, in both pitchers to face both left and right. So it's not necessarily a huge split thing. So, like, in a post-Kimbrel bullpen, right? And, like, if enough of these players pitchers are available, you could envision a scenario much more easily than maybe I would have thought a few weeks ago that Craig Kimbrell's not going to be on the postseason roster. We talked about that on the lineup podcast, which is coming out later today. But Canley is the 12th different Dodgers pitcher to earn a save this year. It was breaking the franchise record set in 1979. You know, so they basically have like five or six reliable relievers, any of whom they're comfortable with in almost any spot, which is kind of the ideal sort of bullpen setup. Bruiser Gratterall is certainly, you got to think, at least working his way back into that sort of trusted group after missing so much time this year. He is opening the series finale Thursday in San Diego, which is also instructive. Andrew Heaney will follow at some point in that game. and pitch like bulk innings. So you got to figure the Dodgers will probably do this a lot in the games not started by Urias and Kershaw. So, you know, something to get used to. Tyler Anderson, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I guess it depends on Gonsolin too. But, I think they would give Anderson a start, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But again, just getting, some of these pitchers back is a huge sort of boon to the team. And it's exactly what they're looking for heading into October. But there's still one more game in San Diego left on Thursday night. And that's the last road game for the Dodgers until October 14th, which is game 3 of the NLDS. Not sure exactly who they're going to play yet at the moment. The number 4 seed is the Braves, but they also play the Mets, who they only trail by one game this weekend in the NL East. And then the number 5 seed is the Padres. So they play the winner of the 4-5 matchup from the wildcard round in the NLDS, so it's going to be something to watch. But they're getting more and more pitchers back, and that's a positive. So that's all we got for today. We'll close out the week tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.